Hello and welcome to PBS Western Reserve's City-Centric podcast series. My name is Jeff Good, and this podcast series serves as a companion to our City-Centric TV series, where we take a closer look at the community members that are centric or central to the pulse of each featured city. Community members like the entrepreneur or the entertainer, the revitalizer, the politician, the humanitarian, even the future are featured in each of the city-centric episodes appearing weekly exclusively on PBS Western Reserve starting in September. The City-Centric podcast series takes a deeper dive with each of our featured city-centric community members, where we take a look even further into what makes them city-centric and what makes their city centric to them. We're pleased today to have our guest, Jen Kidd. And Jen is a highly accomplished arts advocate and executive director of The Nightlight, Akron's nonprofit art house cinema. With her exceptional eye for artistic expression and unwavering dedication to fostering cultural growth, she leads the forward vision for one of Akron's most exciting and influential cultural institutions. Jen is actively leading an ambitious capital campaign at The Nightlight, driving efforts to add a second screen that will double the cinema's capacity, expand its physical footprint, and it'll offer an even more comprehensive range of community partnerships and captivating film choices. This represents a remarkable milestone in the cinema's growth, transitioning from its beginning as a small film festival with a big dream to an indispensable cornerstone of Akron's thriving art scene. I must say, welcome, Jen.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So now I read over your bio, very comprehensive, but take a moment and tell us about Jen. Describe yourself to our listeners.
So my name's Jen Kidd. I love Akron. I've been involved in the art scene for a very long time. I grew up in Canton, and then in the 90s, I'll age myself, I moved up to Akron, and I love it here. I know that sounds, you know. I have a 20-year-old son who's in college. He's an art student at Akron. My husband works in nonprofit development, and he is a musician. We're all artists in my house. And that's a little bit more about me. I ended up at the Nightlight after I've been going there since it opened, since before it opened. I've been such a fan and just adore the place. And I was working as the manager at Musica and sort of a creative director for the Historic Arts District, trying to collaborate with artists and musicians and tie everything together when COVID hit. And then I was brought on as the executive director when the Nightlight reopened after COVID.
So the hardest part sometimes when we start, I ask this question of all of our participants is I want you to do a little icebreaker with me.
Okay.
I want you to tell me two truths and a lie about Jen, and I'm going to try to guess what the lie is. So be easy on me.
I'll be, okay. let's see. I had a cat that lived until almost 26 years old. I have starred in 4 movies. And I once did styled the beehive of Kate Pearson from the B-52s.
All right. So this is very different for us. Normally we have folks that call in for our podcast and you're actually here in person. So I'm trying to gauge your body language and I'm going to get it wrong. I'm thinking the cat is a truth. I'm thinking the starring in 4 movies might not be a truth.
Correct.
Is that correct? Oh my goodness.
Total lie.
But I gotta know about the hairstyling. And that actually it's funny because I watched your segment of the documentary and you talked about your career involved.
Yeah.
The styling of beauty business. So tell me a little bit about that. That's an interesting story.
I was in the beauty industry for about 14 years. And I had a pretty big clientele. I was in the hair industry. I did a lot of work on film and photo shoots and in-person styling when people came to town. So I absolutely did Kate Pearson's
That's awesome.
Beehive.
No, but I could see, we discussed earlier about your inability to lie, as you say. So I thought you did a really good job of tying that because I really had to think about it. So I guess for folks listening, Jen, you know, you're the executive director of The Nightlight. So explain, you know, because I learned very quickly from the documentary. So explain the Nightlight and then your role within that Nightlight as the executive director. What? Tell me a little bit about what you do and what it's all about.
Oh, great. So the Nightlight is a 501c3 nonprofit art house cinema. We're located in downtown Akron in the Historic Arts District at 30 North High Street. It started really in the early to mid 2000s with a group of friends from the University of Akron who started a film festival called Akron Film and Pixel. And it kept happening, and they hosted it at the museum and the library, and it grew to the point where they were like, we need a place. We need our own cinema. There was a demand for it, and that's when the physical space came into play. So that's how we ended up there. So since 2014, we just had our nine-year anniversary. We are a 44-seat, one-screen theater, very small, very intimate, but with having one screen and 44 seats. Since 2014, we've had over 100,000 people come to the theater. You know, so it's small but mighty. And I attribute that a lot to, A, the quality of films we're showing. It's not, I'm going to say, your typical fare. Like, we really put a lot of heart and thought and care and expertise into curating films that we think are important, that tell a story that maybe you wouldn't see otherwise. And that was the whole thing. There were no independent cinemas, and especially no art house cinemas in the nearby area. There still aren't that many. I mean, there's some wonderful ones up in Cleveland, but in Akron, we're kind of the only game in town. So you can come in, you can get a cocktail. We have a full bar. Put a bunch of fancy seasonings on your popcorn. Our staff introduces each film. We come in, tell you a little bit about it, tell you what's coming up, and it's more of an experience.
So I think that I'm a movie person, but I pale in comparison to what I think you are as a movie person, because I'm just that traditional, go to the movie, you know, get caught up in the promotional stuff of a current movie. But you're taking it, you know, your background is more of taking things beyond that traditional cinema and traditional theater showings in the area. So if you had to think about, you know, being part of that over 100,000 people that came through. But I'm going to ask Jen, what's like your top three movies that you've presented to the Akron community at the Nightlight? What are your top three? If I can get you narrowed down.
Let me think about, since I've been there, because I've been there since we reopened for COVID. So let me think about that. One of my favorites is called EO. It was Oscar nominated for Best International Title last year, and it is a Polish film from the perspective of a donkey, and every single showing sold out. If you would have told me that we would have had a Polish film about a donkey sell out for a week straight, I wouldn't have believed you, but it was just, it's magical. I'm a documentary person. I like a lot of documentaries. We just, this past week, were showing A Compassionate Spy, which is about Theodore Hall, Ted Hall, who was the actual spy on the Manhattan Project, right? He was the youngest physicist at the Manhattan Project. He was 18 years old, and he, along with Klaus Fuchs, was the spy. So, but Mark Mitten, the producer, who's Akron-born, Oscar-nominated, fantastic filmmaker, came to town for the weekend, and we did Q&As with him for this. This is sort of what we, you know, like to invite filmmakers and have conversations and share things like that. So that was a good one this weekend. Oh, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Have you heard of it?
I have.
Okay. So
tell me about it.
What I love about this film, we showed it last year. It won 11 Oscars. We showed it 1 year. It came out in theaters 1 year before it won 11 Oscars, including Best Picture. It started off as these filmmakers who just had this really weird idea to make a multiverse. I mean, it's just one of the weirdest movies I've ever seen, and I love it so much. And it opened, and it just went wild. I mean, it just is one of the most fun, interesting things I've ever seen in a theater. And it's like this small movie with this huge heart where just a bunch of friends got together and made this movie, and it turned into something phenomenal for themselves, the distributors. That just was really fun. Something, Moon Age Daydream, the David Bowie documentary we showed, was fantastic. We show a lot of international titles, documentaries, a lot of, like, we're doing a lot more American indies now. working with filmmaker directly to bring that movie in. So, yeah.
So most of those folks that are listening, including myself, I envision myself as a movie as I buy a ticket.
Yeah.
And we've even eliminated that from the process. I do that all on my phone now.
Yeah.
I pick my seat. Used to be I have to go in the theater and get my seat. I watch the movie and then I go home.
Yeah.
Right. And if I've gone with my wife, her and I might talk about it in the car on the way home. It seems like the Nightlight is taking that movie watching kind of, not kind of, but to a different level. You know, it seems like the movie viewers at the Nightlight are more active participants in that experience. And is it safe to say that, first of all? And then how do you cater to that need to your for your audience to feel comfortable about being more involved with the movies shown at the Nightlight?
Zero pressure for introverts. I want to say that. We have most of our team is pretty introverted. It really is. There's sort of a sense of community there where you go and have an experience with a room full of people, and maybe you want to talk about it afterwards. Maybe you don't, but you know you keep running into people, and conversations keep happening. So just knowing that you're there with sort of kindred spirits, people with similar interests, maybe similar views, depending on what it is, but just really fostering community of film lovers and film goers. You know, I one of the things when I came on board is how do we let people know they're invited? I am not an encyclopedia of film. My theater manager, Anthony, who's incredible, I always have to ask him. I'm like, wait, what else did that director do? Like, you don't have to be a film buff. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to know anything. You know, just come have an experience. It's something different to do. Our tickets are $10. I don't want to raise the price. We're probably going to at some point a little bit, just because of cost. But to me, you can't go to Cinemark and get out of there spending. Am I allowed to say that name? I go there.
It looks like you just, sounds like you just did.
I did. Okay. I go there. I totally go there often. But you can't get out of other theaters without spending a ton of money. And to me, coming here and having just such a different, unique experience is worth the price alone.
Well, we're kind of at the midway point of our podcast, so wanted to make sure our listeners know that you're listening to PBS Western Reserve City-Centric podcast series. Keep in mind, the City-Centric television series is not just about the city, but more about the people, you know, people like Jen, that are central or centric to that particular city. The TV series focuses on the revitalizers, as we talked about, the entertainer, the entrepreneur, the politician, the humanitarian, and even the future that each community member can claim makes them city-centric. The City-Centric podcast series takes a deeper dive with each of those featured city-centric community members, looking even further into what makes them city-centric and then what makes their city-centric to them. So be sure to catch all of the City-Centric Season 1, try to say that three times fast, appearing exclusively on PBS Western Reserve, premiering in September. So once again, we're so pleased to be talking with Jen Kidd, Executive Director of the Nightlight in Akron. I stumbled through it because I don't want to, but so we're going to talk a little bit more about collaboration, because as I'm talking to you, I mean, even just how when your audience comes in, you're allowing folks to collaborate that way. And you are also, you know, the Nightlight has been really a collaborator with the Downtown Akron Partnership. So talk a minute about, you know, your experience with the partnership and then what's been the Nightlight's role in that, in working with the partnership?
Yeah. Before I came on board at the Nightlight, I worked downtown at several locations, specifically the Historic Arts District in Musica. I ran a music venue. So I've collaborated with Downtown Akron Partnership countless times. I am such a fan of downtown. It is this... to me, that's my community, right? I live in my neighborhood, but downtown is my community. There's small business. I mean, it just is so full of life. And it to me is, how do we let people know that there's stuff going on downtown? You know, I look on Facebook and everybody's like, construction. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, we don't want the roads to fall apart. So, like, it kind of needs done. Like, it's... You know, the payoff is worth it. So, but just collaborating with these other organizations. So we have coming up, we're doing an outside series in September. During COVID, we started an outdoor series called The Nightlight Under the Stars, and it was ticketed off-site in different locations. We did one at Stan Hewitt, Hale Farm, Wolf Creek Winery. They were wonderful. Last year, we did a few, but my goal was always to make it a free outdoor screening series throughout downtown, and that's what we're doing. So we're partnering with Downtown Akron Partnership on that. So Saturday, September 2nd, we're doing the 1996 Baz Luhrmann Romeo and Juliet. We're doing it on the El Patron patio and parking deck with some friends from Ohio Shakespeare Company Festival. September 8th, we're doing The Wiz for the 45th anniversary in the Akron Art Museum Garden to kick off Rubber City Jazz and Blues Fest in partnership with Summit Art Walk. And on and on. The 23rd, we're doing The Fantastic Mr. Fox at True North, which is the parking lot across from Luigi's with curated storefront. I mean, I just love gathering with different organizations and people. I'm like, hey, let's just do this thing. It doesn't have to be complicated. Like, let's just.
And isn't that the beauty of collaboration? I mean, you're very exciting to talk to about that because I love that collaboration side of it.
Yeah.
And it does take a little more work to be a collaborator, but the results are you can't measure, you know, any sort of anything other than it's always successful when folks are all working together. And it certainly shows in, so if you think about the future of the Nightlight, and obviously you've got a capital campaign, but what are some other, you know, talk about the capital campaign, but also talk about what you see, you know, as the future of the Nightlight.
Yeah. So again, we have that one screen, one small theater. We are very limited with our programming. Something people don't realize is when we show certain films, they own that screen for 2 weeks. We can't show a single other thing. So we have to make the difficult choice of films to turn away, films to show. So we've always needed a second screen. So we're building a second larger screening room, a bigger bar, a lounge that's going to be a library. I have a collection of film reference books. We have a massive collection of film posters. We're doing a poster sale soon. It's very exciting. But really creating sort of this space for people to gather, right? So we're going outside and doing stuff in the community, but I also host students who, you know, there's a group called Tom Todd Ideas that are based out of Canton that solely work with middle schoolers. So we invite their students from camp to come talk about what kind of film would they make about being a middle schooler in Akron. But having educational opportunities, we do guest filmmakers often. We're hoping to have Zoom capabilities built into that screen so that way we're not limited by location and we can have conversations after films with filmmakers globally so they don't have to travel here and we don't have to travel there. And there are just so many doors that are going to open and the possibilities are endless.
It sounds very exciting. And I'm going to hit you with this last question, which is, and I ask everyone, you know, Jen Kidd, I consider, but this is from your bio too, the highly accomplished art advocate and executive director of The Nightlight. What qualities, characteristics, personalities, or combination of all of those makes you city-centric?
Open-minded. Really just passionate, caring. I care about the city, and more importantly, I care about the people within the city. I think that's a big part of it, you know.
Well, I have to thank you, Jen. Thank you so much for being part and being our guest on our City Centric podcast series. For you folks out there listening, you've been listening to PBS Western Reserve City Centric podcast series. I'm Jeff Good, here with Jen Kidd, and PBS Western Reserve's City Centric television series is, as I said earlier, it's just not about the city. But it's more about the people that are central or centric, as we talk about the Centric series, to that particular city. The series, premiering exclusively in September on PBS Western Reserve, focuses on the revitalizer, the entertainer, the entrepreneur. We talk to politicians, the humanitarian, and we even look at the future that each community member can claim makes them city-centric. City Centric podcast series takes a deeper dive with each of our city-centric featured community members. And we look even further into what makes those community members, what they feel makes them city-centric, but more importantly, what makes their city centric to them. So what makes a community member city-centric? Well, you know what? You've got to join us next time as we continue the conversation with those featured community members on PBS Western Reserve's City Centric series. And check out the City Centric series premiering in September exclusively on PBS Western Reserve.